Blog Talk Radio.
Sunny and quite chilly, 38 degrees here in New York City, and we're in the midst of the first major. We've had a number of minor crises, but we're in the midst of the first major crises of Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Bark, a.k.a. Clueless the Clown's presidency. And by all objective measures, he's doing awfully. This pandemic that we're in is not even an epidemic, it's a pandemic, threatens to overwhelm our healthcare system. Governor Cuomo, New York City has approximately 8 million people known to live in the city, the five boroughs that comprise New York City. You add another million of undocumented folks to that quite easily. So you're talking 9 to 10 million people, densely populated, quite crowded. And he's saying that in the entire state of New York, there's only 3,000 intensive care IC beds. 80% of those were already occupied, and the 60 that were remaining are obviously full as well. So we're in trouble, boys and girls, and I don't quite know what to do. A friend of mine who lives in the Bronx, just sent me a very nice post or text or, response, reply, however you want to characterize it, telling me to be safe and, my family and that sort of thing. I only have a son, for whatever reason, it's way beyond the scope of this show. I have any other, persons that I concern myself with in my life, and he's very young, so I can only hope and pray that he'll be all right. He's school age, so I'm not sure if the schools where he lives with his mother are closed. I haven't gotten any reports. But after the show, I plan on doing a little investigation. I have to run out anyway, 'cause I have no food in the house, and I have pending payment for something that I sold, which I need to get the item out to the end user, so I can buy some groceries in here. And prepare to just, chill for a minute. we don't know how bad this thing is going to be. But we suspect that it's going to collapse. It's going to stress systems and services, definitely. And if it doesn't completely collapse the economy, the American economy is very strong. And with some of the prophylactic steps that the Federal Reserve Bank has taken to shore up the American economy, we may be able to surmount the brunt of the economic turmoil that is going to be the inevitable fallout as a consequence of the unprepared or the lack of preparedness on part of the Trump administration, who keeps blaming Obama for his woes, though Obama has been out of office for 3 years. And his response to H1N1 was decidedly different. By this time, we had tested 1 million people. Trump, because he wanted to keep the numbers artificially low, had not, you know, come in with a full-throated endorsement of testing. So, you know, but there was a confidential report I managed to get my hands on in preparation for the show. I have few contacts, not a lot. I don't want to, you know, inflate my resume, but a few contacts that indicated that right now we're looking at an estimated 500,000 people infected. So, you know, you figure that there's roughly 300 million people in the United States, and, you know, that number of infected, you have to go by who they came in contact with and who they came in. It's exponential. It easily becomes exponential. So I'm in a demographic that is impacted adversely, you know, morbidity and mortality. But I always boast about the fact that I'm in relatively good health, and I am. As a matter of fact, I just literally wrote the office manager for my medical practice. I'm not a medical doctor. My doctor's medical practice. To make sure that, you know, some therapeutic, I don't take any medication, but some therapeutic that I do need are available to me in my area. I don't have to travel because, you know, I work in the city, but I live in the country. I don't know if that's easily explained. You know, I could do both, work remotely if I wanted to, and at some juncture I may do so. But until I rehab the house on the property, it's not feasible to relocate full time. So given the pandemic, I think that it's best that I just stay down in the area for a while instead of a densely populated city. Because you have, you know, and this is what I don't get angry at people because the people, you know, they're going to do stupid stuff. They're going to do selfish stuff. They're going to do things that are in their own interests or not. Not in your interests. You can trust and believe that, you know. This is why we have police and courts and judges and things like that, because people are inherently selfish. That's a fact. It's not cynicism. It's not, you know, it's just a fact, and it's a shame. But, you know, and some people are selfish, you know, to the more, you know, really pathologically selfish, you know. I know a few people like that. You know, I had more than one relationship with a person person I actually cared about deeply was really tremendously selfish. Just tell you a story real briefly. You know, which, you know, made me start thinking, you know, things that make you go, You remember Arsenio Hall used to say that back in the 90s when he still had his show? And he was still relatively relevant. So this young lady and I, you know, we were dating, and I liked her a lot. I mean, she was my type. I mean, you know, not the full package, but close to it, you know. Very attractive, nice body, you know, tall, statuesque, one child, but underemployed, you know, trying to go to college, taking a course at a time, paying out of pocket. Well, I didn't quite understand that, but this goes to the point about the selfishness. At the time, I have quite a few new cars. I don't have new cars anymore. I don't need them. And I'm old enough where the only new car I'll ever buy again, if my child wants one when he turns of age, and he'll probably have to drive one of my cars. Why, then again, I don't know, because I don't want him tearing my cars up anyway, either. At any rate, I don't know whether I was trying to impress her or not. I think it was, I had another ulterior motivation. But she wanted to go home. I needed to go home. She was living with her mother, even though she was well into her 30s at the time. Not late 30s, I would say early to mid 30s. We both were. And so I lent her my Bravada, which was brand new at the time. It was, you know, roughly, I would say 2000. This is so the Bravada was 1999 Bravada. And she drove it up to the Bronx. That's where she lived, to Start City. That's where her mother had an apartment that they shared. And you know, gas in New York City, gasoline in New York City is relatively expensive. I get that. I know. I, you know, born, raised, worked, played there all my life. So I don't know why I didn't have a full tank of gas. It was relatively good on gas, V6 all-wheel drive, but it was kind of intuitive. The all-wheel drive kicked in only when it was necessary, if it felt the wheels slipping or something like that. It was a really, really great vehicle, one of the best I've ever had, you know. It's essentially a small SUV. That's all it is. But it was an Oldsmobile. The Oldsmobile, you know, Oldsmobile is because it competed with Cadillac, so they, you know, General Motors in its wisdom decided to eliminate that entire product line and the venerable Oldsmobile name. So it was fully laid out, you know, leather everything, heated seats, I mean, you know, everything. I mean, it was very, very nice vehicle. I loved that car. Or truck, or SUV, whatever you want to call it. So she took it up to the Bronx to do whatever she wanted to do. She's supposed to come back, and obviously we were going to spend some time together. So I'm looking forward to it anxiously, and I'm over, I don't know whether I was over my buddy's house or not, but she calls me from the Belt Park. She wasn't on the Belt. She was on the Cross Island. Anybody who knows that area of Brooklyn and Queens knows that the Cross Island is one of the ways, not the only way, Throgs Neck. You can get there a number of ways. But I was in Queens at the time, and tells me that she had run the truck out of gas. So that means that she had drove to the Bronx and drove back, which is roughly, I would say, about 20 miles. And stop and go traffic. You know, typical New York traffic, which I don't miss when I'm out there. And so I had to call a buddy of mine up who lived around the corner from me. I've known for quite a while. And he had to bring a gas can and come and get me, and we had to go and collect her and the truck. And you know, she said something to me that reminded me, you know, of you know that you know you often where you know you often indicate how you feel about a person, you know, about how you react in situations like this. And I was annoyed, quite annoyed, but I wasn't angry because I did like her a lot, and she said as much. But you know, right after that incident and a couple of more, you know, minor stuff, but things that indicated that, you know, she was a, you know, a user. I kind of, you know, like parted ways with her. I did it reluctantly, trust me. Wasn't an easy decision, but you know, you have to do things that are in your best interest. So, back to the coronavirus, we're in trouble here, boys and girls, because what's going to happen is, and I was writing this all morning and all last night. Systems and services are going to be stressed. I had to respond quite strongly to another poster who indicated that the supply chains are going to be all right. How are the supply chains going to be all right, man? 80% of the goods that we get are imported from China, and China is shut down, man. What is wrong with you? Are you that ignorant? So I went in on him or her. I'm not sure the gender of the person because you can, you know, you can't really be sure by just looking at their you know, their profile, you know, because oftentimes people might say they're a woman, it might be a man, or vice versa, or they might actually be transitioning. Who knows in this day and age? So at any rate, I've been trying to figure out what I can do to protect myself because I am older and I am in that, you know, demographic where, you know, I'm vulnerable, irrespective of the fact that I'm in. I don't challenge death. I'm too old. I really am. And I did a lot of that when I was younger. You know, you know, were in situations where, you know, I may not have survived had I not had, you know, the skills and the training that I had. You know, but as I've gotten older and, you know, my child came along, you know, a decade ago now, I just stopped in my tracks from, you know, doing silly stuff, you know, and a lot of it has to do with maturity and professional, you know, being my character, reputation as well. You know, I just don't do things. I don't get in arguments in the street with people whooping and hollering and that sort of thing, and you know, threatening folks. I'm you know, I act like a you know, a middle-aged man, but I haven't always. This is what I'm trying to say. That's, you know, I'm saying that I, you know, I tend to have a short fuse, and you know, I had to, you know, temper my reaction to stupidity. But, you know, there are reports. There was a report about a guy in Kentucky that tested positive for coronavirus and refused treatment and walked out of the hospital. Now, Kentucky, if you know anything about Kentucky, and I've been there a lot. I had a buddy that lived there right outside of Fort Campbell. On the Kentucky side, but Fort Campbell runs into Kentucky and Tennessee. I mean, he lived on the Tennessee side of Fort Campbell. They say Fort Campbell, Kentucky, but Fort Campbell encompasses both states. Excuse me. So, you know, the Kentucky governor, to his credit, had, you know, I guess the attorney general submitted an emergency petition to the local court where the guy lived, got a quarantine order, and got the sheriff, the local police department, or I imagine it's the sheriff because the police really don't do civil law enforcement, which is what that is. If you're quarantining somebody, you're serving somebody with papers, or removing a child, or stuff like that, that is a sheriff function. But I know I know in Delaware, the police do share functions. So, but I'm not certain about Kentucky. So they had to literally force this guy to stay inside. It's really outrageous, really unbelievable. Anyway, they took another picture in that same general area, Nashville. This is the same general area, man. Think about it. Major city right on the water. And there's bars that are packed to the gills. Nashville's a nice city, man. I've been through there. Really burgeoning out of control. I mean, it's really grown tremendously. Last time I was there was like early this year or something like that, or last year before. And it's really, really grown tremendously. World-class universities, medical centers, and of course the music industry. And typical Trump supporters, unconcerned, they believe every lying word that drips from his little pie hole. And they're out partying. Now, these young people, you figure they're under 50, will go home and infect grandma and grandpa. And that's the danger. And this is what I'm talking about selfishness. They don't care. It's all about what I want. Me, 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 me. This is Trump's ethos. This is why he resonates with these people, because he is selfish. There was a guy on Twitter the other day that, because there's a report that Trump tried to co-opt the German pharma company that was developing a vaccine. And buy the vaccine for use strictly in the United States, American market. So this guy writes a tweet that says, I'm fine with that. And so the point I'm trying to make is that these are enough antidotes, is that you can expect that people are going to be eminently selfish during this time. They're not going to care. I was in a store the other day, and my late girlfriend will tell you that I'm a germaphobe anyway. I'm not. I'm just careful, man. I know how nasty people are. I really do. People are filthy. And the woman coughed. She was elderly. I'm old, but she was elderly. Because she was at least 10 years older than me. Or if not, at least 8 or 9 years, which puts her in the elderly range. And the hand that she coughed in, she wasn't even aware of it. She attempted to touch the bag that she didn't need to touch anymore because she had already put my item in it. And I snatched, it's just reflex from, being a trained martial artist. I just snatched it so quick, and she looked at me, like, hey, what the, But I had already paid for it, and I didn't need her touching it anymore, especially with the hand that she had just literally coughed in. I don't know whether she, was infected or not. I doubt it seriously, but, just an abundance of caution. And I was telling some guys on social media that they need to, 91% alcohol. Don't let these people get all up in your face. Maintain social distance. And if you have to work, like a lot of people, don't be shaking hands and doing the things that you normally do, until we get through this, which won't be until about August or September. And, it's going to be awful. So just be prepared, as I am doing, as every other conscientious person ought to be doing, ought to be preparing. So I'm getting ready to, like I said, go out and stockpile some goods, some, you know, I don't do the supermarket pork because of Chump's has reduced the number of food inspectors. So, you know, those pigs are going through the line after they are killed rapid fire, and you know, you don't know if that particular hog or pig was sick because there's not enough inspectors to catch it. You know, you have to hope that these companies self-monitor. Again, we go back to selfishness. They don't care. All they care about is profits. They don't care if you're consuming a sick pig, you know, that might have something that will kill you. So that's where we are with that. And I'm not panicked. I have basically everything I need. Plenty of ammo, you know, and I don't know what I'm going to do quite yet. I haven't. I mean, in terms of, you know, whether I'm just not going to interact, period, for, you know, a month or two or whatever. But I don't know that it matters because I can quarantine, you know, but, you know, other people are not, and so they're going to be infected, and you still run the risk of exposure because of, quote unquote, here we go again, selfish people. So I haven't quite decided what to do. I guess just, like I said, minimizing my exposure to folk, and I'm going to, you know, step out in a minute or two. Like I said, I got to run and get this package sent out, and then figure out what I'm going to do from here. I don't even know if I'm going that far because anyway, I'll figure it out in the next couple of minutes. So anyway, we're going to talk more about this situation because it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and we hope that you and your family preparedness is one of the first things. Get cash. Don't depend on the banks to be open, or don't depend on electricity. I mean, obviously, we take this stuff for granted. But in the event of an emergency, you cannot get gas out of the station because the gas pumps are electrically operated. You cannot get money out of the bank because the bank ATMs, automatic teller machines, are electrically operated. So have cash, have your vehicles filled up, have, you know, a 30-day supply of medication, you know, plenty of canned goods. If you have perishables, make sure that they're frozen. And, you know, if you have a fireplace, make sure you have a supply of firewood and that sort of thing. And pray and do the best you can. Have a great week, and take care. We hope to see you next week. Same bad time, same bad channel.